Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
It's I can't believe it.
It's here. It's here. We have the lineup. We've started. It's year seven. Season seven. Can you, it just kills me. I can't even think about it when I can't wrap my head around it.
I can't either. And to those of you that have been listening since the beginning, thank you. I know we got a lot of OG listeners. And if you're new to the show, we got a lot of new people too. Welcome.
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly where I want to go with this. We have two special guests, this episode and next. We're going to split it into two. We had Brad Parker and Corey Smith, the festival director and marketing director of mm-hmm. Bonnaroo and a whole bunch of other festivals, Moon River in among them, which is our local festival. But so if you're new, to Russ's point, if you are new, I kind of feel like we need to sort of set the table here a little bit, almost every time, because one of the points that Brad makes in our conversation, or Corey, I think it was actually, is that more than 50% of Bonnaroo attendees are first timers.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I had no idea.
Isn't it? In our world, we think everybody's been there 100 times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's how we think. And that's not the case. So that means that probably, you know, that many are finding us for the first time as well. And they're probably looking in thinking, who are these two old guys and why are they talking about Bonnaroo? You know, what do they have to offer? And so as way of introduction, again, I'm Barry. I spent almost 37 years writing entertainment music stories for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. That's Lord Taco. He is an actual lord. He has papers to prove it.
I have papers.
He has papers. We met through our mutual friend, Brad Steiner, who I co-created this podcast with. And one crazy lunch time about 3 months before 2018 Bonnaroo, I said we should do something live, Facebook Live, if you remember that crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, his eyes lit up, and I think that was like a Thursday, and by Friday he had contacted you, because he knows you're really, really good with computers and web pages and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
he had a web page designed, a name, a show. He had it all. And we thought for 3 months leading up to the 2018 Bonnaroo that we would do a podcast for 3 months. And here we are, seven seasons later, right?
Still here.
Did I leave anything out?
No, you pretty much nailed it. Yeah, I remember I didn't know you at the time, but mm-mm. Brad, you know, through Brad, he just said, he hit me up, I think at dinner one day, he bought me a beer and said, can you get us a website and a domain and, you know, a podcast? And I said, sure. And also shout out to Nikki T, Nick Turner, who designed the logo.
Absolutely.
did all the design. And so it wasn't all me, you know, we had a few people come together on this, but.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nikki T, he did, if you've heard of Camp Nut Butter, he did a lot of that. The giant heads that we have,
mm-hmm.
If you've been to Bonnaroo and you've ever been back in the area and seen Camp Nut Butter, that's us. You've heard about it, which is again part of the reason why this thing is so special, is we actually have a camp that we've created, and
yeah,
picket fence and a name and a marquee, and that's really sort of the theme of this show, and the theme going forward is the reason we first of all, we thought it would last 3 months and that would be it.
That was the entire timeline. Yeah.
Correct. But the reason we thought it was a good idea is because we realized that we were talking about Bonnaroo almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we had lunch together, we were talking about Bonnaroo in this community. And so we started this podcast, and then figured out pretty quickly that there is an entire community. I used to joke, if you remember when we first started, that we were big in Korea, North Korea, because we could see the analytics.
Yeah.
And we had listeners in North Korea, and I'm sure it was a bot, but whatever. I thought it was still funny because it wasn't one. It was several.
Right. Yeah.
Which was so stupid. But we figured out pretty quickly that there is an entire community that is as obsessed with this festival as we are. And you are going to hear Brad Parker in particular and Corey talk about that exact same thing. We had about, 90 minutes with them?
Yeah, it was over an hour total. They spent a lot of time with us.
Pretty close. And the first half is sort of just that. It's us, them talking about how they fell in love with this festival like we did. They were not it's funny how many lives have been changed by this festival. And that's, I think, a huge part of this conversation, ours, yours and mine. No question about it.
It's definitely changed mine. I mean, Brad and even Brian Stone combined probably have a whole lot of experience going to Bonnaroo because y'all have been to nearly every single one. I had never been before 2018, which is crazy because it seems like I should have been going this whole time. We're so close here in Chattanooga. Plus, I've got the bus. You know, I've had the bus for 20 years, and that's what everyone says. That, oh, I bet you take this to Bonnaroo. And my answer has always been no, and then it became why not? So this was my opportunity to get involved with y'all and actually go to Bonnaroo. So I've been going ever since 2018.
And have a whole new group of, more than friends.
Yeah. Right? There's people I talk to every day now because of Bonnaroo.
Yep. And Brad and Corey, again, Brad is the director of the festival and Corey is the marketing director. They didn't have those careers 10 years ago.
No.
They were just fans who ended up at Bonnaroo and, like us, fell in love with it and figured out a way to make a career out of it. I mean, I don't think I can emphasize that enough, you know.
That doesn't happen with a lot of fields, you know.
No. And Yvonne, who we had on a couple of 3 weeks ago, is now a photographer working festivals because of Bonnaroo. Our friend David Bruce, he didn't change his career, but he's been going since, 11?
Mm-hmm.
I get it wrong. It's been going for quite a while.
11 or
now.
12, because he had his 10-year anniversary would have been either one of the ones that got canceled. Right. I think 2020? I don't know. But,
he's a friend of ours. Mm-hmm. As I've said, been to my house.
Yeah.
That's sort of the line for me, you know.
If they've been to your house.
But if you've been to my house, mm-hmm. it means a little something special.
Yeah.
And that one does. But you have edited the episodes. You've got them both broken down. So I have my sort of talking points, but what stood out? I mean, I know what stood out when we were talking to those guys, but now that you've gone back through, were there key points that jumped out at you?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, they both started Bonnaroo as fans, and then this ended up being their career. And of course, through AC Entertainment and C3, they work on a lot of festivals all over the country. But they both emphasized how different and unique and special Bonnaroo is to them, and that it's almost, you know, they manage it differently because they understand that it's a lot of fan first type programming, and you know, there's things they can do at Bonnaroo that they can't do at other festivals, and that stuck out to me.
That's a great point, and also want to give a shout out to the Real Rubus guys. Daniel and Sharla also interviewed Brad and Corey the day after we did. And took it a little bit different. They went a little deeper, as they should have, and I'm glad they did, into the camping experience. You and I sort of come at it from the media area, backstage kind of thing, and they spend more time out in the camping area and spend a lot of time on that. It's a really, really good interview. Brad and Corey, again, give
yes
a whole lot more information.
Definitely,
deeper.
Yeah, complimentary to ours, I would say. You can listen to both shows and get a pretty good picture.
Yeah, but you're going to find the same thing. You're going to find it's about community. You're mm-hmm. going to find that it's different. It is completely different. But one of the things, to your point, which you were mentioning, is they really do listen. They read all the Reddits. They read all the emails. They read the good, the bad, mm-hmm. and they react to it.
They do.
And we have said that from the beginning. Even before those guys were involved, I can tell you, as a, you know, someone who went that very first day, and has been going every year since 07, they listen. They know it's hot. They know we need bathrooms. They know we need grass. They know we need shade. They know we want, you know, Tame Impala, and they know we want this band and that band, and they know we need water.
That's right.
They listen. And it doesn't happen overnight. And that was one of the things you'll hear Brad say. You know, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes money. That was another thing you'll hear, that, you know, it just, they listen. And I think that is so key.
They do. They're not just sitting in an office thousands of miles away, no idea what it's like making decisions. They, you know, they're in, right. what, Nashville and Knoxville?
Yeah, those two are. Live Nation C3, I think, is in Texas, Austin. So mm-hmm. they're spread all over the country. They do, you know, these are the big boys. These are the guys who put on the serious festivals. So we're lucky to have them. The other thing I wanted to emphasize, if you're new, we have an entire catalog of past shows that Russ has done an unbelievably great job of organizing. And I would recommend you go back and listen, because they're not, to me, they're evergreen, right? We've had Brad and Corey on. We had them on last year. And we've had Ashley Capps. We've had Rick Farman. We've had Jeff Cuellar. We've had all these people who help put these events on. And they go, we love the sausage making. That's what this show is designed about, is, and so
we do. And I've tried to make it easy to go back and find all that, because it's broken down by year, by topic, by guest. I mean, you can look it up. You can just search for whatever and hopefully find it. So we have a large catalog, and it's kind of hard to manage, but hopefully we can. And we do occasionally, we'll pull out clips from old episodes and put them out as a high five. You might have heard some of those. If it's a week where we don't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. High five clips, but you know, it's about a 5 minute, 5 to 8 minute, 10, maybe 10 minute clip of something that we hope will entice you to go back and listen. But my point is, they're evergreen. They're, mm-hmm. I don't think they're dated. There are a lot of band interviews. But we've Brad mentions, Brian Benson and, Steve Green. Those are the guys that book these acts.
Mm-hmm.
They've been on our show a couple of times. And if you're interested in why they book so-and-so and not so-and-so, you know, it's so funny. I've told people many times, at Moon River, I had a couple of shots of bourbon that were a little stronger than I knew. And the next thing I know, I'm hugging up to Brian Benson, telling him he needs to book Dolly.
Yeah.
You know,
and like he's never heard that.
Yeah. He looks at me like, seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously? You don't think I thought of that? Yeah. It's not one of my finer moments. But point being, they talk about that several times, and, you know, how that happens. It's not just a, you know, walk into a store or walk online and say, I want this one and that one and that one. You know, there, it's a complicated formula, and probably probably, Russ, if we've done nothing else with this show, I think we've helped explain to people through interviews with guys like that, not us necessarily, the process, you know?
That's a good point.
The fact that they work very hard to build a lineup with lanes, as they call it. You know, if you're a fan of XYZ, what else will keep your interest for
right.
4 days while you camp in hot, sweaty, muggy, miserable Middle Tennessee in June?
Exactly. If you bought a ticket based on your favorite band is playing, you know, Sunday, what are you going to do the other 3 days while you're there? And that's a good point.
Right.
They try to curate that experience based on your musical taste.
I think that is probably in the top three or four things that we have learned mm-hmm. in doing this. The other is the Bonnaroo code, the Bonnaroo community, radiate positivity. It's real. I think you and I, you know, I know I have. I remember leaving there after the first year thinking, why can't it be like this all the time? Why can't
same
people
thing.
Just be kind, you know? Just yeah. do the right thing and be kind.
And for me, those are some of my favorite episodes when we just talk to people like you and me that are fans and that are in the community. And, you know, like we've had Cassie on a few weeks ago, and a bunch of people have been on the show that aren't necessarily in the business or, you know, a music performer, but they're very much just as part of Bonnaroo as any of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just be kind. You
yeah.
know, be who you want to mm-hmm. be. Be whatever you want to be. We get to do that for those 4 or 5 days, 6 days now. And it's a great lesson that we all, you know, can take with us, I hope. But anyway. All right. So I think I'm so excited. We kicked off season 7 with the lineup.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, Post Malone, Red Hot Chili Peppers, everybody should know by now. If you're listening, you know.
I mean, there's
nothing new. No news there.
No, we started with our initial reactions, and then we did a live show with Brad and Corey, and then this is going to be the next couple episodes. So, which is another
right.
point. We have a YouTube channel that is a kind of a companion to the podcast. If you haven't come over and subscribed, we do live streams and we do videos a lot of times. So, you know, please check it out.
Yep. And so along those lines, this is the kicks off the season. We mm-hmm. are probably going to do, we're not probably, we're going to have something every week, whether it's a high five clip or a new interview. We're going to interview fans. We're going to interview artists. We're going to interview as many people as we can that are the behind the scenes, the sausage makers, as we call them, because that's what I like doing. I like asking how you build a stage in a week, you know, how you get sewer and water and all of that on a 700-acre farm for a week. That stuff fascinates me.
I know. And, you know, for a long time, there was nothing out there. It's just a 700 acres of nothing field. And they had to bring all this in.
That's exactly right. And that's what we love. So,
yeah.
Okay. Anything else? I'd ask you if there were other things from the interview that really jumped out at you. I guess everybody will just have to listen. Like I said, the first part is mostly Russ and I asking them and getting sort of their story, how they ended up where they are. And then the second half is a little bit more in-depth about this particular and some of the changes,
of
the camping, the a la carte sort of camping changes. And so it's a pretty wide-ranging interview. Those guys are great. They were so nice to give us as much time as they did. And I always love talking to those two.
And I think they like coming on and talking to us.
Yeah, I know they do. And it's, again, they're us. They're just fans that it's so funny to think about that. And again, going back to Yvonne and those guys, you know, this was not a career path that they had lined up, kind of. Corey a little bit more. I mean, he's a musician, but, you know, it's just interesting how this festival has impacted so many lives.
So
and
true.
I think you get that from these two interviews.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. I hope you enjoy it because I sure did.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. As promised, guys, we're back. This is the What Podcast. I'm Barry. This is Lord Taco. As promised, we have Brad and Corey from C3 Presents to talk about, man, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the changes last year. We're going to talk about the changes this year. We're going to talk about this year's lineup. We're going to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. First of all, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Well, we have to do this first. Well, let's do this first. Brad, what is your role, please, with C3?
My name is Brad Parker, and I'm the festival director of Bonnaroo.
And you do other festivals also, right? Because I want to get into that a little bit with C3.
Yeah, so my role kind of changes depending upon the show. So I have a few shows I work on that I'm the festival director, and then there are some projects where I'm more of in support roles as like a project manager. So it kind of depends upon, you know, we've got over 30 festivals in our portfolio. So wow. We definitely have players that change, you know, that are chameleons a little bit and have to switch roles depending upon the project. But for most of the, what some that are listening may know as the AC Entertainment Festivals, I serve as the festival director. Moon River in Chattanooga, High Water in Charleston, South Carolina, Bonnaroo, and a few others, but that's my role.
Thank you. I wanted to get that from you because I want to ask a little compare and contrast kind of thing later on, if I remember. All right, Corey, what is your role, please?
I'm a marketing manager at C3. My main show is Bonnaroo, but I also work on some of the other formerly AC Entertainment shows like Highwater, Railbird, Moon River, and then you can go ahead and tease. We might have a couple more coming this year. We'll see.
Right.
But yeah, and then Bonnaroo is kind of a weird one. You know, me and Brad, another handful of people are kind of, you know, some of the like OGs on the Bonnaroo team. So we end up wearing a few different hats on this one and just kind of get sucked into pretty much everything, which is always fun.
For everybody else who's new, I'm Barry again. That's Lord Taco. We started this Bonnaroo-related podcast in 2018. And you guys, Russ pointed out that you guys were fans first, as were we. And I think that's really important and an important thing to point out, right? I mean, you get it. It's as Jeff used to say, it's not about dropping in, getting a big bag full of money and leaving town. You're kind of committed to it year round, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I went for the first time in 11, I think, or 10. And I haven't missed one since then. Yeah. And it's one of those where like, myself and a group of friends, like even before I started working with AC Entertainment, it was kind of just one of those things that we were not going to miss, you know? And Brad, I think Brad's been going even longer than I have.
I missed a few years in around 2011 to 13, but, or 2010 to 12, but my first one I went to was 2008. I was still in high school, actually. told my mom I was going to the Gallenberg for the weekend to go to Dollywood. That was a lie. And went and did other things instead of going to Dollywood. But and then my first one working on the team was in 2013 in a very small role. But yeah, it's important. I think Corey and I were fans first, and I think that's why we really pride ourselves in being able to have a finger on the pulse and understand the tone of the fan, because that's where we came from. So it's not like we're festival guys coming in saying, oh, we're experts and we know what to do with the festival. We're Bonnaroo fans, and we've just been blessed with the opportunity to be able to be involved at a deeper level. And so it's been really fun. Corey and I love it.
Yeah, I remember just rolling up the first night that we got there, my first year, and just like getting out of the car and grabbing a beer and looking around and being like, this is insane. and like that feeling like still doesn't really wear off. Like I get there, you know, a week early now, and you know, it's not half built by the time we get there. And still like that first night when you kind of wander around, you're like looking around, you're like, this is a very unique experience.
There are two great beers in life: at the end of a round of golf and when you pull up and you get your campsite started at Bonnaroo.
Tailgate beer. Yep.
I can't relax until I'm parked, and then I open that first beer, and then it's like, all right, yeah. Bonnaroo's on. Here we go.
What are you drinking, Barry?
Right now?
No.
Oh,
no,
typically. It's a little early.
I know Russ is on the PBRs, right? I'm
waiting for that splat.
Hard to drink all day if you don't start early.
You got to start early.
First bottle of beer was.
I usually bring a case of Busch.
Yeah.
Which is, I love that.
Thank you. Like that. Isn't that so funny? I bring a case every year. And in a couple of years, Jim Burris, who's VP, I don't remember which record label. I can't even remember. From Chicago. Columbia. Showed up at camp and I had a Busch, and he was like, oh my God, I haven't had a Busch in forever. Can I have one? And he and his son drank all my beer, which was great. Fine with me, but yeah. All right. So in typical fashion, this is how I work. I had some questions, but this line of questioning I want to stick with, because I think it's important. One of the things I wanted to talk about is, because I've been hearing all week, and Russ, the last couple of episodes we've had have been people who have said Bonnaroo changed their lives. Yvonne was on with us a couple of weeks ago, and she's now a photographer, you know, working for music festivals. She was into photography, a decade or so ago, Russ? You probably remember more than I do, but...
That sounds right.
Now it's what she does for a living. Did you guys... Was this your goal, to be involved in music and music festivals, Brad, when you were in high school and you went to that first one? Or are you like the rest of us where you thought, man, this is a pretty good gig?
I think for me, and maybe this is similar to a lot of people's stories, I always had a very intimate relationship with the music growing up. It was always like my free therapist. You know, I didn't have... Anytime I was either sad or mad or angry or whatever feeling I had, there was a record or a song that I went to, and that really helped me channel or focus on the energy and the emotion. And so I was really attached to the music, and I never thought that it was something that could be a job. I thought you had to be the guy behind the mic, or you had to be the drummer or whatever, to be able to work in music. And it took me a little bit of time to figure that out. I mostly was in love with being in a space where that music became a physical, tangible thing, which was at live shows. And then I think it was sometime in college, close to the end of college, Ashley Capps came and spoke at a class I was in at UT in Knoxville.
Ashley Capps, for people listening, is the AC and AC Entertainment co-founder, along with Superfly, of Bonnaroo. Just sorry to interrupt, but just to bring everybody up to speed. Yep.
So he came and spoke at a class when I was in college, and that kind of put AC on my radar, and got connected with that organization and ended up starting working there part-time in 2013 and then full-time in 20 beginning of 2015 or end of 2014. And then I just been, you know, pretty much in it with Corey that entire time through, you know, iterations of the company via acquisitions and things like that. But it's been the same people in the same room and the same festival for all I care to mention it since that time. So,
see, and your story is very similar to my daughter, Grace, who you knew. She worked there at AC, same thing, high school, fell in love, got an internship at AC Entertainment, did 4 years of working with James Chenault there, the volunteers, and then got married and is doing much better because, you know, she figured out there's nobody getting rich but AC. But anyway, Corey, what's your story?
Yeah, we love Grace. It was a blast working with her and getting to know her. So I always sang and played music and stuff growing up, especially in like middle school and high school. And I was kind of like desperate in high school to find a way to get involved in music, because I felt like there probably wasn't really a way to easily, you know, perform or play unless I got really, really good. And I didn't really want to teach. So I found out about music business programs at Belmont and MTSU. And I found out pretty quickly that I was way too poor to go to Belmont. So I went to MTSU and had a great experience there. Kind of like DIY shows and played in bands and, you know, did like mini tours and stuff and just kind of like got my feet wet that way. And then moved back to Knoxville for an internship at AC in the marketing department. As I like started going to more shows in college and festivals, I was definitely kind of drawn to live music. A lot of the curriculum there at MTSU is like label based and like marketing of recordings and that kind of stuff, and that never really like resonated with me, especially in a space where that was changing so quickly. And you know, some of the stuff they were teaching at that point already felt like it was a little out of touch, as everything was sort of going digital and they're still talking about like putting CDs on shelves in Target and stuff. But all the stuff I did with live was always really interesting. I loved playing shows at the time. You know, even now, like one of the things I talk about a lot is like, I like to go to some of the big, like hyped up shows, especially the ones like a Zach Bryan, where it's like super prone to like sing alongs, like even if you don't know a lot of the songs. And I like to just kind of like hang back and watch the fans and listen to them. And you know, you get a pretty big like dopamine hit off of seeing that happen. And I think that that's something that, you know, through all my years, that's really the only place you can get that. And it's just super cool to, you know, be involved and help create that space. At AC, I did marketing for concerts for quite a while and then started drifting into the festival world and then came on with C3 a few years back.
I'm glad we did this. I mean, my story is similar. I'm older than you guys, but I was at college, had no clue, found out if I, you know, wrote for the paper and reviewed concerts, I got free tickets. And if I reviewed records, I got free records. And that literally is why.
I had an internet blog in college that I used to get free tickets.
It's amazing. That literally led to a 30-something, 37-year career, and including going to Bonnaroo. And you know, Russ is, you know, he's with us because he figured out how to design web pages and do everything else that he does amazingly. So,
well, and it got me a free ticket to Bonnaroo, and that's kind of how I latched on.
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Along those same lines, any advice for somebody maybe in high school or coming out of college looking, they love music, maybe love festivals, any advice for somebody that would want to break into this kind of career field or, you know?
Yeah, I like to encourage people to go the DIY route as much as they can in the music space. I think a lot of times when you're in school, you get encouraged to do a lot of internships and, you know, seek out mentors and kind of like, you know, build a network, which you definitely should do. But I think that there's a lot more that you can do by yourself that people are afraid to do sometimes. You know, throw your own show, do a mini festival, manage a band when you're in college, try booking a band, you know. I think all of that stuff, like for me, when I'm looking at resumes and interviewing people to come into the music industry, people that have done that kind of stuff and taken initiative and kind of like built their network that way is usually really impressive to me. And there's, you can like in music, you can even like develop your own company doing that. Like you don't even have to go work for somebody if you like latch onto a band and do a good job and it works. Like, so it's time well spent, I think. And that's always my advice. I think that's a little like against the grain method that works pretty well.
Brad, I'm going to let you speak. And then we're probably going to say the same thing, but go ahead.
I talk to a lot of students, throughout the year, and we've got the Bonnaroo U program that we've put together, and we're moving that to Lollapalooza and trying to get that started at ACL in Austin as well. And something I always tell, you know, that this industry rewards two people. The first group are the hustlers that Corey's talking about that don't say, you know, who's going to hire me to manage. They say, I'm just going to go out and hire myself and figure it out and build the skill set. That's the first one. And then the second group of people are just the people that are curious all the time. I tell kids at the end of each session I have, they always ask the question, what's your advice? And it's be curious, ask the questions. This industry, more than any other industry, in my opinion, is full of people who will respond to that cold email that they get. I have students all the time send me cold emails, and I think when I respond to them, they're just like, wow, I didn't expect to respond, right. So I don't know where to go from here. Like, what am I supposed to say now? But
right.
Reach out to people, man. Stalk people on LinkedIn. I mean, if there's a job you want, find someone in that job, find their email. In today's age, it's not hard.
No.
And reach out to them.
The thing I always say, and I used to speak at like career days, is very similar is, and kind of Corey, it's everything you both have said is, and even Brad, not everybody's a singer. Not everybody's a quarterback. Not everybody's going to be the point guard, but there are so many other jobs in music and football and basketball or whatever. And you guys are proof. I'm proof. You know, I'm like you, I love music, but I can't play the radio, but I found a way to be around it by learning, you know, to getting a job in a newspaper. You guys did the same thing. So that's the advice I always give. And you're right about the internships, and that's how Grace got into it and you got into it. Just keep volunteer, you know, sweep the floor. It's easier to do in high school than in college or as a graduate. So yeah. Start early. Yeah. But anyway,
the takeaway is you can't just go to class. That does not work.
Exactly. Yeah, that doesn't do anything.
That does not work.
No one ever got that job from class.
It is.
All right. Well, we spent way more on this than I intended to, but I think it's important because it establishes a lot of what we talk about on this this podcast is how much we love this festival and how different it is. It's people who care about the music and Bonnaroo and festivals, and we're fascinated by the sausage making. We're fascinated by how you turn a 700-acre farm into the fifth largest city in Tennessee for a week. And so let's go. My first question was gonna be, how do you guys feel about the lineup?
Corey, I'll go first if that's cool.
Yeah, you take it. You take it first.
I feel really great about the lineup, Barry. I think that, you know, Corey and I have been talking a lot about this. Obviously, we've been on the phone a lot over the past couple of days and reading a lot of comments, some of which we should probably ignore, but we try to hear out as many people as possible. And I think that Bonnaroo is, you know, right before this call, Corey and I were talking, it's so weird to have a festival where people go one time and then the next year they decide, I don't even need to wait and see the lineup, I'm going to buy the ticket. That's not something that happens at a Lollapalooza or you know, anywhere else. And that's not to say anything bad about other shows we work on that do right. Incredible things for the communities and cities that they're in, but it's something very special that needs to be acknowledged with Bonnaroo. And I would never use that as an excuse for something someone might perceive as a mediocre lineup or underwhelming lineup. I think the lineup we have next year is magical. I think the undercard is stacked. I think we've got two very heavy hitting headliners in Post Malone and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I think that Fred again is the future of the headlining space for the space that we're in with Bonnaroo. And people are going to see that as more European festivals announce their lineups for this summer. And our job is to be forward thinking and see what's next and not what's just right now. And I think that time to time we have to be the tastemaker, you know. People trust us to be the tastemaker, so let us be the tastemaker. And so that's kind of my thoughts on next year. I think there's a lot of very Bonnaroo bookings on the undercard this year with Sean Paul and Gwar and all of these things that are little golden gems that you're not going to find at other festivals that are only going to be unique to mixing in. You know, I don't know anywhere else you're going to see Megan Thee Stallion and Gwar on the same lineup. It probably doesn't exist. Doesn't exist.
Or Jean Baptiste. That's what I said to somebody asked me what I think. And I said, I'm never going to see Jean Baptiste anywhere else but this festival. That, and not just because of who I am. So, yeah. Go ahead, Corey.
This lineup's the most unique one that I think we've done in a while. It's had the widest, like, age and demographic range of my friends who are reaching out to me saying they like it. Like, I've got friends in their early 20s hitting me up loving this lineup. I've got buddies in their 40s hitting me up loving this lineup. I think it's really got something for everybody, and I think it appeals well to, you know, like the nerdy music lover and the person going to experience the general festivities of Bonnaroo. Like, I think that opening the main stage on Thursday is going to be insane. I don't think people are ready for that. I'm so, so excited about that. That's going to be a one-of-a-kind experience. Pretty Lights' team's already hitting us with some crazy, crazy ideas for some stuff they can do to take that show to the next level. And it is just going to be nuts. And then, you know, I know we've got, like Brad said, we've been reading the comments. We always do. And you know, this one's definitely, it's a lot more of like the, this is the best lineup I've ever seen right next to this lineup's garbage.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot more of that than last year. It definitely seems like it's a little more polarizing. And you know, I know some people feel like that Sunday spot is maybe, supposed to be reserved for a legacy act. And it has been in the past. But I think we all just want to say, like, trust us. The Fred show is uplifting and magical, and he's pulling out all the stops for Bonnaroo, and people are going to walk away from that field on Sunday night feeling awesome. And I'm just so excited for everyone to see that. It's going to be incredible.
And if you didn't catch it, it's the only festival in the United States that he's going to play next year.
Oh, nice. Didn't know that.
He's headlining a bunch of European festivals, and he's headlining Bonnaroo.
Nice. For all, to go back to your Pretty Lights point, and folks, if you're listening, pace yourself. Pace yourself.
That's good advice.
Pretty Lights on Thursday night, man. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing, because that Thursday is wide open anyway. So listen to our past episodes.
Opening up Thursday, the wet stage is going to be, it's going to make for a long marathon. So yeah, pace yourself is good advice.
Real quick, Russ, because you had a day to sleep on it. And you know, Corey, you said polarizing, and it's. I didn't think of it this way, but I've been reading the post too. It's either love it or hate it. There's not a lot of middle with this one, is there?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
No, not that I've seen.
Yeah, that's weird. All right, anything else, Russ, you want to talk about this year's lineup before we sort of move?
Yeah, what do you guys think?
Oh, same.
I listened to y'all's podcast yesterday, but it seemed like you guys were still a little bit undecided at that point.
Well, yeah, we had just gotten it literally minutes before we hit record, so you really got our first impressions. Yeah, we've had about a day or two to sleep on it, and it is good. I think, you know, that 2020 lineup that never happened is kind of like where everybody wants to compare it to, and of course nothing is ever going to compare to that, but yeah, I think the more I dig into it and look underneath the big names, there's a lot on there that I am excited about, and yeah, there's stuff on every day. I mean, every day is pretty much stacked for me.
Yeah, I think it's really, really, really solid. And I said so yesterday. I think the things I've heard are sort of headliners, you know, maybe not last year or certainly not 2020. I'm a Chili Peppers fan from the beginning. I saw them when Hello was still alive. I mean, that's how far I go back. You know, so I get that. But when you started digging in, the Krung Bins, the John Batiste, the Maggie Rogers, it's really, really good. And two things. You want to be entertained all day, each day, or at least have some options. You know what I mean? You don't want one day to just so overwhelm the other two are not very good. You want to be entertained the whole time. And Brad, trust us. That's what I keep hearing from, which raises other points. The veterans, the people who have been, know it's more than the lineup. It's about the camping. It's about the experience. It's about trusting you guys to know how to build lanes, put together a lineup. It's not about just seeing one favorite act. It's about the whole weekend. And that's what I'm hearing from people. The other thing is, oh man, they were just here. What? And I was going to ask you, that's one of my questions. What's the percentage now of like new ticket buyers? Because that's something people forget. Like veterans like us.
It's the majority.
It is the majority. So majority of people have not seen.
It's well over half, I'll say.
Yeah. So the majority of people have not seen Post Malone on the farm or the Chili Peppers on the farm.
Dude, and Chili Peppers, like, yeah, they played 17. A bunch of us got the opportunity to see them at other festivals or shows last year. And they sound amazing with Frusciante.
Yeah.
And yeah, worth
we
noting.
We have They've to never, have that on the farm.
Yeah. Worth noting. They've never played Bonnaroo with Frusciante in the band. Yeah. Which is yeah. big.
Point.
They sound really, really great right now.
Yeah. So all that stuff plays into it. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. I'm glad that came up. And even if it is, it's not the same band. Like, you know, so I heard somebody saying Post Malone's not the same guy he was a few years ago, you know, no artist is. So always take that into consideration. So and I wrote down, you said forward thinking, Brad. That's that's so weird because people can be that way. I know so many people want to hear their favorite band like they remember them in the 70s or the 80s. That's not what you guys are about. And that's what I've always loved. I don't want to hear a classic rock band doing, you know, their hits. I don't mind hearing a classic rock band, but I want to hear the progression. So,
and I think the key to that, Barry, and I was talking to Corey about this earlier, is that if you look back, if you talk to OG Bonnaroo fans right now and say, give me your top five Bonnaroo years by lineup, and you pull those years out and you look at those years in the context of the year that they happened, we were on the front edge of a lot of those artists.
Right.
And you don't think about that now. You look and you go, oh, Kanye West or whoever is on the fourth line or third line of this festival. That's a bad example. I don't know why he was the first one that came to mind. But my point being, the best Bonnaroo years were ones where we were really saying, trust us. We want to be the tastemaker. We know where this industry is going. We know what's hot. And we want you to be the first. We want to be the first to show it to you.
Well,
and it's hard. It's easy to forget that when you're looking at a lineup from 10 years ago and going, oh, yeah, obviously this was a good year because all of these are Grammy winners, but they weren't Grammy winners when they were on the stage.
Now, I did a radio interview. They wanted me to call in and talk about Bonnaroo, and they were talking about this exact same thing. And I was like, the thing that Bonnaroo has created. And I went to the first one in 02, started going in 07. And when we talked to Danny Clinch a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this because he's a huge fan as well. Bonnaroo changed the landscape, because before it was around, before it came on, it was a lot of arena rock acts and rap, which was two different things. But the arena shows were just so cookie cutter. It didn't matter if it was country or pop or whatever. You knew at the end of third song, they were going to say, hello, you know, Cleveland or whatever. And then they were going to introduce the band at the end of five. And then it was going to be over in 87 minutes. Didn't matter what it was. And it became really, and the other thing is they did away with festival seating. So everybody had to sit in their assigned seat. There was no more going towards the front of the stage. It was just really dull. So Bonnaroo changed that, but it also changed this idea, and this is my main point, is it made it so that you wanted to discover the band that you'd never heard of. My favorite t-shirt I've ever seen there was some kid wearing a shirt that said, my favorite band doesn't exist yet. And I thought that sums up, that sums up Bonnaroo. To your point, it made it so that going and coming back with three or four new bands that you had never heard of is now the goal, almost as much as going to see that favorite band that you've never seen. Right. I mean, do you guys,
that's my response. When people say, oh, I've never heard of these names on here, I'm like, well, what a great opportunity. You know, you can go and come back with a new favorite artist. You might, you know, find out. So,
yeah.
I think this is a good time. I think it's a good time also to just give a shout out. Like, as we're going through those comments, you know, you're seeing a lot of people who you can tell by sort of reading their like full comment that maybe it's not their favorite lineup, and they're, you know, actively encouraging people who are, you know, voicing their complaints about the lineup to come anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got people that, you know, have been before, obviously, and understand what it's about. And, you know, I've also read a bunch of stories this week and, you know, seen some stuff online where people are talking about how the lineup that they liked the least going into the weekend ended up being their favorite moderator.
Never not great. As our friend Ken Weinstein said, it's never not great.
And I think another thing, you know, that shows that too is, you know, we've had the most successful pre-sale this year that we've ever had coming out of last year. There's more people who have gone ahead and bought their ticket before the lineup than we've ever had before. So I think that message is really, you know, starting to spread in a big way. And you know, that's always been kind of my thing. Like I was saying, it's like me and my buddies kind of decided pretty early on, it's like, we're gonna go every year, because it's going to be awesome. And there's hundreds of bands.
That's what we keep hearing.
Yeah.
Well, let me go back then to that first early on. I said I would jump around because the fact that, Brad, you said you work with like 30 other festivals. How similar, and we're going to get into the details for you guys that are listening. We're going to get into the, because you guys made some pretty significant changes last year and you sort of continued that. And that's the main reason we wanted to have you on here. But I want to talk about this other stuff too, because I'm fascinated by it. How similar are those other festivals in that regard? Because we say all the time, the lineup doesn't, it matters. Let's don't kid each other. It matters, but it's becoming less and less significant, I think, with Bonnaroo, because of what you just said, Corey. It's the total experience. Can you quantify that in regard to some of these other festivals, guys?
I mean, I'll start by saying, as a whole, Bonnaroo, within the portfolio of festivals that our company works on and produces in the United States, I think Corey would back me up in saying, we look through Bonnaroo, we look at Bonnaroo and make decisions on Bonnaroo through a completely different lens than what we think about for any other show that we produce. And it's because of the sentiment and community that's built around the fans of this show that is way more engaged. Whereas you have big city festivals or single genre festivals like a Highwater that really lean into, I want to get Americana fans to come, and they're more passive music fans. They're going to come this year because Noah Kahan's there, but next year, if it's My Morning Jacket, maybe they'll take the year off. Bonnaroo fans, in my opinion, are always coming until we give them a reason not to. And that is the opposite.
Okay.
Everyone else is not coming to Highwater unless we give them a reason to come to Highwater. Bonnaroo, I truly think when you come one time, I've got to convince you the next year not to come, because it is that's the magic of the experience. And we went through a really pivotal time. This is something I've spent a lot of time thinking about, and I've told Corey my thoughts on this, and there's no way to prove it. But, you know, I think the pandemic, I think 2020, 2021 really masked a time that naturally we were having a paradigm shift in the fan base of this festival. And we were going to have to deal with that either way. And we kind of got distracted by COVID and the cancellations and the hurricane and all of that. But, you know, we were at a pivotal point where the people that came in 05 and 06 and they saw Dave and they saw Widespread and they had this festival change their life, this is no longer something that easily fits in their life anymore. And we've now got to pivot to who is that new fan? The guy that was coming to see Widespread in 2006, what is that fan today? Is it the kid that's 18 that's coming to see Fred again? You know, is that who that is? And how are we catering to that? And so I'm kind of rambling a little bit.
No, man, you're nailing it. Please don't stop, because it's
just such a special thing, man. It's the coolest thing I've ever been able to work on and associate myself with. And it's unlike anything else we work. And I'll let Corey talk.
I want to preempt, because I want to comment on that. You know, you talked about COVID and the hurricane, but also that was right smack in the middle of the big shift between AC and Superfly and Live Nation C3, right? So as a fan, it felt like, man, this thing is going really, really corporate. And then it felt like people like you two stepped back in and said, don't mess with my festival.
Dude, the C3 team also is the best group to do this show. That is not a corporate situation over there. That is a bunch of music lovers with big ideas, just like AC. They just got more festivals. It's super cool.
But am I wrong? And that's the way I felt.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
I think there's a perception of anytime Live Nation's name is brought up, that is the perception, fair. Right? They're the death star.
Yeah, they're the big 100%. I agree. That's fair.
Oh yeah. And they're the Comcast.
But it's important. It's really important. I can't stress this enough. If you were to turn my camera around, walk out my door, and walk about 30 feet down the hallway in front of me, you'd walk into Brian Benson's office, and that's who's booking this show.
Yep, friend.
And that's who's
friend of the show.
Him and Steve Green, right? They're doing all the magic work, and those were the same guys that did it in 19, and they did it in 20. And they did it before C3 was in the picture and before Live Nation was in the picture. And when somebody like C3 becomes involved, and I'm extremely lucky to work for a company like C3, because like Corey said, it's a lot of dreamers and big idea people. And the only thing different now is that those dreamers have access to more resources and capital to actually do cool stuff.
It's pretty sweet.
You know?
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. But perception is the right word. That was the perception. And then in the last couple of years, it felt like whatever shift change there was, and it may just have been a perception, but definitely, I'm glad to hear you say that. And Brian and Steven, man, they're great. They've done a terrific job.
I interrupted your answer. I think the big thing too, with like looking at the perception and stuff, it's, you know, some of the comments sometimes are, it's always great to get feedback from people, because we need it. You know, we spend as many hours as possible out there on the site, but we're not experiencing it in the same way that fans are. And we take all of that to heart. But it is hard to see those comments sometimes where, you know, people, you know, think it's a big, Bonnaroo is a big money machine that's just, you know, gobbling up dollars, because it's really just a bunch of like me and Brad's in here like trying to make something weird out in, on a farm in Tennessee. Like yeah, it does need to make money. Like we do have to, you know, eventually turn a profit to be able to keep doing it. But there's a lot of liberties that we're allowed to take that aren't necessarily contributing to the bottom line.
I had a boss that used to say nobody likes to be told their kid has big ears. All right, so there you go. That's just part one. Part two will be next week. Russ, I mean, I don't think I oversold it. Those guys are fans. They're fans first, right?
Completely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They and just happen to have the keys.
Yeah, and they listen. And they listen to other fans.
They listen to other fans. And yeah. It's interesting to see. You can tell it stings a little bit when they hear criticism. But
yeah,
they do something about it, right?
They do, if they can. And a lot of times they can. So, you know, keep that in mind that when you make comments like that or you see comments, they definitely look at it and respond. And like you said, it's not always an instant change, but it's something they can work towards. You know, they're looking at long term.
Right. Right. And that's a great point. And that's something that I've been saying to you, especially. My goal is to not only go this year, but next year and the next year and the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a different mindset in a lot of ways than just how can I take advantage of something this year? You know what I mean?
Yes.
We won't go too deep into that, but yeah, it's just interesting. I think it's a great point, and I'm glad you keep making it, that they listen, because I think that's very important.
So. Super important. Yeah. I also wanted to ask you, it's been about a week. Have you digested any more of this lineup?
I still think it's really good.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yes. I think my initial reaction is similar to yours, and I haven't come off of that. The top is okay. It's kind of interesting. If you listen to Brad and Corey on the Rubus podcast, they get into it a little deeper. I think we touched on it briefly that this is a tough year for headliners, for festivals, because we all came out of COVID and those guys were ready to work, and now they're ready to take a break.
And, yeah. It's just the cycle.
It's the cycle. You know, you can't book. There are reasons why a band books when they do and goes out on a festival and those sorts of things. And you can hear that. I won't repeat it. But to your point, I still think that middle, that undercard, just under the headliners to the middle, is pretty doggone strong.
Me too. And that's where I'm going to be living most of this year, I think, is that middle. That's a solid middle. I had a chance to see Pretty Lights at the Caverns a few months ago, and I wish I'd gone now just to kind of see what it's all about.
Yeah.
But I am curious about some of these, because, you know, like you said, they, part of their job is to kind of predict the future.
Yep. Yeah. That was a great point there.
Yeah.
That was a really, really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. They are a future planning festival. They're trying to book bands that are going to be great.
Yeah.
And they've done that as well as anybody.
I think so. So if you're not familiar with a band that's, you're wondering why they're headlining, just know that there's a reason that Bonnaroo picked them and put them where they did. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. If you're the type that, you know, isn't going to go because you've never heard of somebody on the lineup, you know, whatever, stay home. But most of the Bonnaroo fans are the people who are there to discover. That's the other sort of thing that we've kind of realized, is that it's a discovery festival.
It is.
The reason you go.
And that's part of, you know, we've shifted a lot from the days of MTV, where you would see a music video and that's usually how artists would get discovered by a lot of people was the, you know, major airplay. But now it seems like discovery happens on places like Bonnaroo, where you just go and that's where you come back with, you know, a whole list of artists that you want to go home and listen to now.
Right. That's my favorite part. Coming home with a, coming home with a list of brand new favorite acts.
Yep.
You know, Fred again, I know nothing, but listening to those guys, that's going to be an epic, crazy, you know, North American exclusive, one time only show. It's going to be big. And so that's cool. Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to. Not necessarily. I want to see the John Batiste because where else am I going to see it? I want to see Gwar. You know, I want to see the ones I'm familiar with, but I want to come back and go, or rather go and see the new act that I've never heard of and be blown away. So
me too.
Very excited about that.
Speaking of Gwar, I saw some of the memes that people are already posting about Gwar and about Gwarly Ray Jepsen, the crossover we didn't know we needed.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I'm energized again. Somebody, my friends keep saying, you know, are you really going? I said, yeah, I'm pumped up, as excited as I've been in a long time for this particular one. And it's partly because of talking to Brad and Corey and the lineup, but, just listening to all these other people talk about how excited they are.
Oh, yeah. So,
all right. Well, thank you, guys. Please like, you know, hit the like button, share, post a review. Thanks to Consequence. And we're looking forward to where this takes us.
Yep.
And
who knows? And stay tuned next week. We'll have part two out.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.